The car business is rapidly changing, and modern car dealers are meeting the demand. I'm Michael Cirillo, and together we're going to explore what it takes to create a thriving dealership and life in the retail automotive industry. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with subject matter experts that are designed to help you grow. This is the Dealer Playbook. All right, gang, I am sitting down now with keynote speaker and the best-selling author of Heart and Sell, 10 Universal Truths Every Salesperson Needs to Know. I had the privilege of hearing my guest today speak in Napa Valley just a few months ago, and boy, did she have that whole room engaged. We laughed, even cried a little, and it was all about what I'm excited to talk to our guest today. Sherry Levitin, thanks so much for joining me on the Playbook.
Thanks. Michael, I've been looking forward to this call.
Something about your delivery in Napa had a room full of car dealers weeping. And it's, I got to tell you, I mean, it's not often that that happens. So anybody that can get a room of car dealers to express that level of emotion, I'm like, I need to know this person. I must know all of their magical ways. So you spoke a lot about, in essence, it was about the power of leveraging video in your sales process and how to, you know, build relationships using video as a method of communication. But it was so much more than that. And as you were speaking, my mind went back to my early days building my business where I had talked myself out of doing video for like 6 months. It was right around the time I was starting to bald and I thought I looked like a turtle and I thought people were going to make comments and all of the things. You have such a unique way of making people feel empowered that this is definitely not only something you should do, but that you can do. Where did that all start for you? Where did that all come from?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I told this story in Napa. I was doing what everybody else was doing. You know, I was doing the written blogs, and I would do video in front of a bookcase. You know, with the proverbial bookcase, and I'd have makeup on and this, that, and the other. And one day, I live in Park City, Utah. I was hiking up a mountain. And a hill, not a mountain. I was hiking up a mountain talking to one of my employees who's a millennial. I'm obviously not. And he starts rousing me and he just says, you know, your videos are really boring. You're not communicating. You're not connecting with people my age. They're just, I said, what do you mean? I have a lot of views on my videos. And he says, yeah, you know, but they're not authentic. And today people really want authenticity. And you said one of your goals was really to connect to the new generation. I mean, millennials now are more than half of the marketplace and the people that are buying our products and services. He says, you're just turning our generation off. And so now I'm getting pretty agitated at my employee. And he says, I dare you, I double dare you right now, do a Facebook Live or a LinkedIn Live. I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm a mess. You know, my hair's all bad. I don't have any makeup on. He said, exactly. I dare you. I double dare you. Well, I love a good dare. So I said, okay, fine. I'm just to prove him wrong. You know, so I pick up my camera, right? Which is, of course, our cell phone, which, by the way, is more powerful than the camera Spielberg used to film Jaws. I mean, we've got the tool in our back pocket, right? And I just do a silly video for 3 or 4 minutes about the attributes of top sellers today. And I got to tell you, Michael, I was blown away. I had a larger response to that 3-minute unplanned video than I did for all of my 2 years of blogs combined. And wow. I'm thinking, wow, if a picture's worth 1,000 words, what's a video worth? Well, it turns out a lot. And so that created this whole shift in how I started communicating clients. Because what I found out very quickly was that particularly today, when we're in a world of so much automation and such a lack of personalization,
right,
that video was a way that I could reach people and they'd know me. They could see me. They could see my expressions. So it started building trust. So we started using video on LinkedIn. Now I have videos on LinkedIn and Facebook. We had one video of me buying a Porsche that, you know, went completely viral. I think it got 6 million views. And actually, I joke that that one video paid for the Porsche, but it's true because we got so many inquiries. So it just changed my view about video. And it also loosened me up that I don't have to look perfect. I don't have to sound perfect. God knows I need makeup today, but hey, people don't care. Right. They want you. They want the real you.
I love it. And I love your positioning of that video paid for the Porsche as a result of the opportunities that came from the video. Do you find, maybe it's just me, I don't know. I feel like people get into doing video or a podcast or any form of media content creation, if you will. And if they're being honest with themselves, somewhere in the back of their minds, they're like, I'm going to be Joe Rogan. And then they get two views and they're like, this is never going to work and I'm out. So to hear someone in your position with your experience saying, this video essentially paid for the Porsche, given the opportunities that came my way, can you break that down to demystify a little bit for those that are listening or watching? How does it actually end up looking? Because you're not gonna, I mean, Joe Rogan was a celebrity for 30 years before he started his podcast. He had a baked in audience. He went from 0 to 1 million listens per episode or views per video because it was all those years that people didn't think about. How does that look for you as you build demand around your business?
And I just want to say too, I know your audience is dealers in dealerships. And so I also want to clarify, when we talk video, I'm talking two types of video. I'm talking asynchronous video, right? Like you can get through Snapcell or Vidyard or other video companies so that, your salespeople can immediately get back to customers. So service, you know, can video customers so they feel like they know them. They feel more comfortable. It separates you. I'm also talking, when we're talking to dealers, about, for God's sakes, get on Zoom or FaceTime and stop with the emails. People don't respond. I mean, the response rate on an email is what? I mean, how many right now, how many unread emails do you have in your inbox, right? Or unanswered. So video is novel, you know, whether it's synchronous or asynchronous. And I think that novelty is what's making it so exciting today. It's like when we, you know, when I first had my AOL account 25 years ago, you know, and it went, like it made that crazy noise, right? I always say it sounded like Rosie on the Jetsons. But anyway, I'm aging myself here. But that's the video I'm talking about. For me, and possibly for some people that are listening, if you want to build your personal brand or your company brand, the way that works, first of all, understand today, we need to go where our customers are. It's not about the sales process anymore. I can't stand when I go into a dealership to work with dealers, or I go into, you know, some of our other clients and I listen and I say, why are you still talking about the sales process? Sales process doesn't matter. What matters is the buying process. And today customers are buying totally differently. We know this. What is it? 38% of customers would rather bypass a salesperson and buy online. Now, not that that's a good thing, because I think there's higher regret. I think that they're not really understanding the differences of products and services, but this is what customers prefer. So when we talk then, Michael, about the buying process, we think, well, where are customers going now to get information? Well, think of yourself as a consumer. Where do you go to get information? You go to the internet, you read reviews, you go online.
YouTube.
Where are we spending our time? Well, whether we like it or not, particularly a younger generation is spending 6 to 7 hours a day on social media to they're back and forth, right? We're doing our work and then we're checking LinkedIn and then we're checking, did I get a like, you know, did I get a Snapchat? Woo, dopamine rush. Woo. You know, that's our life today. So if we aren't going where customers are, we are missing the boat. And so as a dealership, you know, we need to be going, you know, we need to be using all of these different channels, whether it's social media, whether it's texting, and video more than anything else has 10 times the open rate, again, because it's novel. So if I send a video text to you showing you the car going, can you smell the leather? That's pretty impactful. Now, getting back to your original question, which I really didn't answer, how does it work on social media if you're building your brand? There's really three strategies you want to think about when you're getting your brand out there with video. First and foremost, do not sell. That, like, you are not using particularly LinkedIn or Instagram to sell your cars. I mean, you can do that, but that's not what this strategy is about. This strategy is about giving value. And so when I do a video on LinkedIn or social media, you'll never hear me sell anything. I'm not selling my next seminar. I'm not selling this. I'm giving value because that's what makes people keep watching. The minute you start pitching, you're turning people off. So that's number one. Number two, algorithms are changing all the time. You know, particularly LinkedIn and Instagram, you want your videos less than 90 seconds. And you don't want to start with, hi, this is Sherry. It's a beautiful day in Park City. Like, you like, attention span is so short.
Hold on, let me just delete all my videos.
But right, I need to grab you and hook you right away. So I need to let you know what problem I'm solving for you right away. And I will tell you, stories more than anything. That's why that Porsche video, and then I did another one about my husband buying a truck, went so viral is because they were stories. So if you can tell stories, and then it's consistency. So really those are four things, right? And you need to post, you know, every Sunday night at 6 or every day, or, but there's a consistency factor and it takes time. And, you know, one thing that we're not good at today is patience. So
I love this. I want to attack something from a different angle as well. You're a globetrotter. In fact, in just a couple hours, you're going to hit the road for a couple of weeks. You have your business to run. You've got family. You have all these plates spinning. Plus you try and fit having a life somewhere in there. And I see that very similarly to how dealers, have multiple plates spinning at any given time. They're trying to run their business. They're trying to have their family, all these sorts of things. And then we say, hey, you got to do more video. And they're like, they feel that pressure because of the lifestyle and process they've known for so long, which is go, 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 go. Oh crap. When am I going to find time to figure out what to do for the video? And then I got to record. But from somebody who's, you know, got a full timetable, what do you say to those individuals? What's the best way for them to just get into this and perhaps alleviate the pressure that they're not doing their job if they're devoting some time towards this?
Well, there's so much in that question, Michael. You know, I grew up selling in the 80s and the 90s when, you know, it was super cool to work 80-hour weeks and be exhausted. I mean, that was the badge of honor, right?
Right.
And I will say, today's Gen X, millennials, and particularly Gen Z, you are not going to attract employees into your organization if that's your MO. Above all, your new recruits want what Michael Dell calls life-work balance. So I would say the biggest lesson that I've learned about reinventing myself, using new technologies, et cetera, look, we all have the same amount of time in a day. And it's not a matter of how much time you have. It's a matter of how much energy you have. And so I try to think about what's going to give me energy. What's going to give me motivation? And it's different for everybody. But I'd say if you just don't have time, you want to go back to the root of why. What am I doing with my time? What is sucking my time? And being with family, exercising, eating well is your most important time. Because if you don't have that balance in your life of being healthy, having good relationships, you're never going to be able to be successful in your work. And I'm not talking about working less. I'm talking about working with more purpose. Mm-hmm. I would say secondarily, Carol Dweck says it best. She's a professor at Harvard, and she wrote a great book called Growth Mindset. And according to Carol Dweck, there's two types of people in this world, those with a fixed mindset, and those with a growth mindset. Those with a fixed mindset say things like, I don't know technology. I'm not good with names. I'm not good with math. I'm not good focusing. Those with a growth mindset say, well, I can learn it. I'm going to figure it out. And she said, more important today than skills, more important than experience on the job, do you have a growth mindset? So first of all, for anybody who says, I'm not going to do video, you're going to be extinct. Like if you don't grab on to the digitization, I mean, I remember when the internet came out, I'm like, yeah, that's going to go away. Yeah, well, that worked, you know, and then I was like, yeah, texting. Yeah, that's not going to take hold. And same thing with LinkedIn. I thought it was a stuffy Facebook. I'm like, I'm not going on LinkedIn. Like, why would I do that? And I will tell you those adaptations, that this is where the world is. Right. So you don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you mean you don't do video? You're like, what? That's like saying I don't do internet. That's like, you know, so you know, what, you got to send something in the snail mail, which I actually is coming back, which is a different conversation. But that's what I would say. And then I would say, what's interesting about video is once you go through that learning curve of learning the new technology, it'll save you so much time. It is a complete time saver. And I'll give you an example for salespeople. Any good video platform, asynchronous video platform, is going to have tracking, measuring, and monitoring. Well, if I've got 20 prospects in my pipeline that called me up for a quote because, or sent me an email or a text because they're not all coming into your lots anymore, mm-hmm. and I reply with a video, any good video platform is going to let me see who opened it, how long they watched, and if they forwarded it to somebody else. Well, now I'm a seller. I come there on a Monday morning, and who am I going to engage with first? The 8 out of 20 people that actually watch the video. So it helps me prioritize my leads. And if there's one thing that sellers do wrong, it's that they spend too much time with the wrong people, you know, and of course, old dinosaur salespeople, you know, don't even want to engage that way. They're like, come into the lot. Well, they're not coming into the lot anymore.
Yeah. I got news for you. They're coming into the lot. Lot's right here.
Coming into the lot.
Right.
So, yeah.
I love the way that, and that just ties back to your comments about growth mindset versus fixed mindset. Someone with a growth mindset sees the opportunity for what it is and says, what can I do to capitalize on this or to make the most of this? Whereas the fixed mindset says, well, I got fat thumbs and I can never find the video app. And I, you know, it's always demeaning. I love the way that you position that. And then just the practicality of tracking engagement from video with the whole, you know, common sense of if they watched it and they watched a good portion of it and shared it with somebody, they're going to buy something from you.
Absolutely. And I'll also say people learn differently. And after working with salespeople for over 30 years and being one, we are not normally very analytical. We don't learn through manuals. We learn through doing. I'm generalizing. But you want to understand your learning style. And so I think a lot of people say, well, you know, they start looking at the directions. They sort of glaze over. We've all got ADD today, right? So it's like they just sort of glaze over. So you want to ask yourself, how will I learn how to do this best? Is there a course I can take on how to use video? Does the vendor that I'm going to go with offer some how-to? This is why we started teaching selling with video workshops, because people were like, okay, great. I know I need to use it. But it's not only the technical part, and this is important, of how to use it, because you're sort of pressing play. Like, you can learn that in 4 minutes. It's the use cases.
Right.
It's where do I want to use video? And you can use video all throughout the sales process, you know, responding to a lead. Maybe somebody comes into your lot, they don't buy on that day. You're darn right. I'm going to follow up with a video. But again, there's some important rules for making a good video, the length of it. Your what I call virtual presence. I think it's very important that you're not, again, salespeople can be too salesy, that I'm going to repeat back their problems and their needs. Focus more on the customer's problem and needs than on your solution. And this is pre-video. Salespeople have always made that mistake. Mm-hmm. You know, I call it premature demonstration syndrome, right? That they don't do a deep enough discovery, you know. I'm a little irreverent. It's due to connectile dysfunction. It's a terrible disease. I mean, you think COVID's bad.
Oh my gosh, that's fun. That tickled my funny bone for a second. Oh dear. We don't want me having a laughing fit. That's hilarious. So the thing that stands out to me is we went through this phase where we were like, the internet. Now here we are. And I love what you're saying, though. Anybody can learn this. Go to or heard of Google. Like, I'm a sound engineer by trade. That's what I actually went to school for.
Really?
I did some marketing. I did some business schooling. But like, I graduated with a sound engineering degree. And here I am 22 years later. The founder of a marketing and technology company that develops software. Like, how does that happen? Google. I tell everybody, Google. And sometimes I don't know if you'll find this funny or not, but it cracks me up every now and again. Cause my dad to this day will be like, hey bud, how do you do X? And there's a website called Let Me Google That For You. And what you do, Sherry, is you type your search query and it creates a link. And the link they get looks like they're opening up Google, except you see the cursor move, click on the text box, fill in the phrase, click the search button, give them the search results, and says, was that so hard?
That's hilarious.
Because you're right. You can learn so much. So you had mentioned a couple of things in rapid succession. The length of the video matters in context. If you're doing it for a certain context, the type of video you'd mentioned, you know, don't start your videos with, hey, this is Michael at ABC Motors, like showing your real self. And those are all things, you know, I would really recommend those listening go and Google how to do that kind of stuff, because it's all readily available. There's so many videos that people can watch to break down the algorithms and all of those sorts of things. I want to ask you this though. Going back to the mindset as we conclude, how do you recommend people get over themselves when it is that quick? Like, hey, Sherry, how's it going? You know, their background's not perfect. They don't have a camera like this. They're using their phone. They maybe look a little tired, because we are our own worst critics. How do you recommend people just push through that and get cracking?
Well, look, for salespeople, you know better than anybody, action cures fear. It just does. And you're going to make mistakes, and you've got to be kind to yourself. And look, it will break, and you will have embarrassing moments. I live in a ski resort. If you don't fall down, you're not skiing hard enough. That's all there is to it. So I will also tell you that nobody likes how they look on video. We're all too fat, too bald, too old, too wrinkled, too this. But guess what? So are your customers. You know, the phrase I love, and I tell this to salespeople all the time too, in many contexts, your product doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be better than the alternative. And your alternative is what? An email that they're not going to read? So, and I will say that, it is the imperfections that makes it perfect. And really, anybody who's in a relationship, it's the imperfections that makes your partner perfect. We embrace the imperfections, right? Because there is no perfect. And so it goes pretty deep. It's kind of a spiritual conversation, but I will tell you that, particularly salespeople, look, we know that, you've got to embrace the difficulty. You've got to embrace that. And that's what always propels you to new heights in any endeavor.
Wow. It is. Oh, I feel like we need to have you back for the spiritual side of this conversation. Cause I can tell it goes there so naturally. Oh my gosh. Sherry, you are such a delight. Thank you so much for taking your time with us. How can those listening or watching, first of all, get a copy of your book and then, you know, get in touch with you and your team to learn more about how you can help them thrive with video?
My book is Heart and Sell. It's on Amazon. The 10 Universal Truths Anyone Needs to Know. I think it's great for the car industry. I started in B2C. So we do a lot of work with larger companies today, but it's a great book for car dealerships. I post free, as I said at the beginning, every single day on LinkedIn and Instagram. See, you make mistakes. Perfect in the imperfect. Instagram and TikTok. And then if you'd like to get a hold of me personally, write to Sherry, S-H-A-R-I, at sherrylevitin.com. And someone on my team will get back with you.
Amazing. Thanks so much for joining me on the Dealer Playbook Podcast.
Thank you, Michael. It's been my pleasure.
I'm Michael Cirillo, and you've been listening to the Dealer Playbook Podcast. If you haven't yet, please click the subscribe button wherever you're listening right now. Leave a rating or review and share it with a colleague. Thanks for listening.